life is a journey of making changes. The Holy Spirit will begin to change us from the inside out. So he converts us, he changes our attitudes, he reforms us, he reshaping us. There's construction going on in our life, construction in your heart. It's amazing how what God does. As I know Kurt was praying, it's like, if we hear his voice today, do not harden your hearts. He wants to speak to you. Are you willing to be listening to the voice of God Almighty? And sometimes we have our own plans and purposes, what we think should be. It's like, Lord, what do you want today? Lord, what area of my life do I need to surrender today? So we've been in Romans for a while. In chapter 5, Paul has argued that we are to be assured of our salvation in Jesus Christ, and that forgiveness we have in Christ is far greater than the sin that we have lived in. He calls us not to live in our sin any longer. So Paul in Romans 5:20 says, and now the law comes to you. Now the law came to increase the trespasses, but where sin increases, grace abounded all more. So do we sin more? Pray. It does not give us a license to sin. It doesn't give us a license that says, oh, I'm just going to walk in this sin and ask God for forgiveness right after, because I feel like I need to walk in that sin. But it says, die to sin. To die to your old nature, your old desires. Sometimes there's a gospel out there that says, you know, I'll just sin and God forgives me anyway. So what's the purpose of really surrendering to God? I'll just sin. Live a life however I feel like it. But that's not the gospel. It doesn't give us a license to use God's grace in vain. There has to be a transformation. When we come to Christ, there should be a transformation of our hearts. My heart should be transformed that I do not want to sin. That I don't desire to sin. I don't want to go walking into sin. We should actually, as believers, as we are being transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit, we should be, as more and more we walk closely to the Lord, the more that I hate sin. Do I hate sin? Do I see what's happening in this world cause me to really rise up and hate what's happening? Does it draw me to my knees in prayer, and praying for those who are still in that sin and actually walking contrary to what the Word of God says? You know, and because we're going to be reading Romans 6, you know, it says, it's kind of backtracking from what I spoke about 2 weeks ago. You know, Paul preached the great news of the gospel, that whoever, no matter how bad you have sinned, sin is sin. No matter how bad or what kind of person you were prior to Christ, it's God's grace and his redemptive power to save you. And he's been calling you. And do we respond to him? So no sin is so bearable that separates you from God. Because in that sin, he's been calling you and desire to bring you out of that sin to change your heart, to put you in the right standing with God Almighty again. At the beginning, we were never right with God. Romans 3:23 says, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus was the only one who had never sinned. And so, if we have sinned, since the Word of God says that we all have sinned, we need a Redeemer. We need a Savior. And the Word of God reveals how sinful we are. And we know how sinful we can get, because we see the operation of our old life operating at times. desiring things that are contrary to the Word of God. And then we try to justify our sin. I don't know, probably nobody's ever done that. We try to justify our sin. This is who God made me. No. God didn't create you to be living a sinful life. That was never his intent. Sin came from Adam because of his sin. And we've been inherited that sin nature from then to now. But Jesus came to set you free from the power of sin, to redeem you, to make you holy, and make you righteous. And to, when we are justified, when Christ justifies you, when you surrender or repent of your sin, he justifies you. So justification means that you, he imputes his holiness as though you have never sinned. So if I have, it's a different thing. We have to see the truth of the gospel. Because if we're justified, so he's broken the power of sin off of our lives. And I know that there's generational sins that are passed down from even from our fathers. Even the sins in our lives that we struggle with. He can set you free from those, the power of sin in your life. Question is, do I want to be set free from that generational sin? Do I want to give CPR to that sin every day? Or do I really want to trust him to set me free from that bondage of sin? Hebrews 12:1, I believe it is, it talks about cast off or put off the old, put off the old sin that so easily entangles you. I think it's Hebrews 12:1. It talks about whatever sin entangles you so easily. It's like, Lord, I don't want to walk in that sin any longer. Lord, I know that you can set me free. I know, Lord, that you could give me different desires. And the Holy Spirit rises up in you as a believer. Says, do not open that book. Do not open or turn on that TV. Don't go down this avenue. But we don't. So at times, we listen to the Holy Spirit. We think we know better. There's disobedience there. Lord, forgive me of my disobedience. Forgive me for hardening my heart towards your voice. Lord, help me to be sensitive to your voice. You know, and Paul says, you know, Paul's contention for us is not that we are saved in order to be left alone in this world, because this world's full of sin, depravity, wickedness. It's not. He didn't leave us alone. But he wants us to trust him. And as we trust him, he sanctifies us. He purifies us. Sanctification is an ongoing process of how he is transforming your heart to not to walk and desire to walk in sin any longer as a believer. There should be something different about a believer. Does my life reflect what I say compared to what I do? Do I really trust him in the areas of my life? Do I desire to give CPR to that sinful nature? Do I desire to put off the old nature and put on the new? Hopefully that makes sense. So by sanctification, we're dying to old nature, walking in the newness of life. growing in Christ and growing in maturity in the flesh as we yield, walk in obedience to the Word of God, and walk and grow in relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. As you walk with the Lord Jesus and you get closer to Him, the desire to fulfill the sinful nature should decrease. Because if you are walking with Him, He is actually fulfilling every area of your life. And so when we go to sin, it represents something in our life that is lacking. You ever notice that? If you're lacking something in your life, what's your tendency to do? Sin. You'd rather go because that's an immediate satisfaction. It's immediate. And so if we are recognizing areas of our lives where we sin the most, perhaps that's the area where the Lord Jesus is not in our lives. I hope that makes sense. Philippians 2:12-13, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And I think sometimes we lack the fear of God, the reverence of God. For it is God who works in you both to will and do for His good pleasure. So how can anyone be been delivered from sin's penalty, eternity in hell, to go back to living the same life that had him on the path to hell in the first place? If we've been saved and been redeemed, how can we go back to living the same life that had us going on the path to hell in the first place? How can anyone, having been cleansed from the defilement of sin, desire to go back to the same cesspool of depravity? How can anyone, knowing what Jesus did on our behalf, go on living as if He was not important? I think it reveals our heart. It's always about the heart. He desires to transform our hearts. He gives us a new heart. So how can anyone, knowing that what Jesus Christ did on our behalf, go on living as if He doesn't exist? How can we continue living a life that is sinful? And I know we're not going to stop sinning, but the day that we're all going to sin, but it still doesn't give us a license to sin. There's a difference of just, you know, if we recognize our sinful patterns, God could change that. Do we lie? Do we cheat? Do we tell? Do we backstab? That's still a sin. As we move into Romans 6, we all see the grace of God, how God redeemed us, justified us, as though we had never sinned, that Jesus died once to break the power of sin and death off of the believer in Christ. Jude 3 says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting, so strongly encouraging you to contend, so striving against opposition, physical or even spiritual. We need to contend for the faith, earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. We contend for the faith. Doesn't mean we float along and drift along in life. We ought to be in the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts, dealing with us in different areas of our life. We don't just live a life that is, I know Jesus, I said this prayer, and now I'm saved. Now I just continue to live a life that is dishonoring to God. That's the contrary. We don't do that. If I'm a believer in Christ, my life should be transformed. I should be revealing more of Christ in my life. My language, my attitudes, my behavior should be changed to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, letting go of bad habits and being transformed in our mind, in our hearts. We're going to read Romans 6, 1 to 3. So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized in Christ Jesus and were baptized into his death? After I read this, we'll go back to Romans 6:3. But therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death. You're buried with him. You're dead now. Dead to your desires. Sometimes we do, like I said, we give CPR to that dead man, trying to revive him. It's like the paddles and everything, trying to shock him and come back to life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that's the old nature, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, speaking to the believer, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. To reckon is put off that old thing. Reckon it dead. But alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And that's why it's important to ensure you have the armor of God on. And take captive of thoughts. You know, you think, you take captive, when we see something, or we lust after something, it starts to fill our mind, we desire it, comes more and more, starts building. Eventually, it's in your heart, and then it comes out, and it is revealed. You know, just even I think about how sometimes people say, oh, he's this beautiful woman. Should we not be careful of how we look at other people? If I'm married, I am married, but I'm just, you know, if I see a beautiful woman, say, oh, you know, good job, Lord. Is that wrong? Should be. Because that's committing adultery. It says if I look at a woman in a lustful way, I have committed adultery. And so then, if I allow that in in my life, now I'm an adulterer. I need to repent of that. My prayer is like, Lord, I don't want to see another woman. I want to see my wife to be really the one captivating my heart. And likewise, women can be this, they, you know, can have emotional, physical, especially emotional affairs. You see that happening. Emotional affairs are probably even worse than a physical one. I got sidetracked. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Yeah, I know. Thanks, Eric. So our position, sin was our former way of life. So it's a former way of life. It's supposed to have put on this new nature and be instruments of righteousness. Dying to self, dying to our desires. God gives us new desires, new purposes, new plans. So we were alive to sin, dead to Christ. We walked according to the desires of the flesh. We walked the nature of the old man. We walked in sin. And we are called the enemies of God. We were not in him. We had turned our backs on him, but we didn't know any better. But now we do. We're accountable for what we know. So I can't make an excuse, oh, I didn't know. I can't say this is circumstances caused me to do this. We're all held accountable for our actions. We choose to walk according to our own will, in our own ways rather than his wills, his will and his ways, because of our selfish desires, of our fleshy walk, and because of our disobedience, we brought death upon ourselves. The Bible is clear that sin brings death. Ephesians 2:1, it says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. But in Christ, our position has changed. Our situation is now reversed. Ephesians 2:1 says, he has made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We are no longer alive to sin or dead to Christ. We are dead to sin, alive with Christ. So sin does no longer have dominion of your life. You don't have to sin. It gives you the ability to walk out of it, or even before you even getting into it. Christ has changed our position because of the new life he has given us. We are able to walk in the newness of life, no longer walking in sin according to the desires of the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. Many believers today keep serving the old nature that was controlled by sin. They have been set free, yet have chosen to remain slaves to some strongholds. It always comes with a choice. There's a choice. God always gives us, you know, I can't remember the scripture, but it talks about I forget now how it goes. I'm trying to think of it. It'll come to me. But when we, the sin that comes into our lives, or we are faced with circumstances, we have to cry out to him, say, Lord, help me in this situation. Lord, I do not want to go down this avenue. He always gives us a way out. I can't remember the scripture now. I can't remember. Anyways, check it out. Do a study. But a sinful attitude. You shouldn't have a sinful attitude. We should desire to live a life that honors our Father. We should desire not to want to walk in the same sin. And God didn't call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. He wants us to be obedient children, not to conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you holy, so you be holy in all you do. Be holy because he is holy. So Romans 6:3 says we were baptized in Christ. I shared how when I read that, I was like, wow, it's not talking about water baptism, but position in Christ. So we're taking on the new identity in Christ. He gives us a new identity. And I shared last time how this new identity, now we don't say, if you're a born-again believer, you do not say that I'm a sinner. Because that would not be accurate. You used to be a sinner. You used to be separated from God. Now your new identity, because you've been baptized in Christ, is a child of God. Sin no longer has dominion over you. Death has no effect on you anymore. You've been made alive and new in Christ. That is your new identity. You know, the baptism, when we get baptized in Christ, the baptism is not something we feel or experience directly. It's a provision made by God without our direct knowledge, except through revelation. Our union with Christ necessarily produces a newness of life. Galatians 3:27 backs that up. And it says, for as many as you were baptized in Christ, have put on Christ. That's the new nature. So we've been baptized in Christ to put on this new nature. Our identity is found in Christ. The importance of knowing who you are now. If you're a born-again believer, your identity is found in Christ. You're a child of God. Do not refer to yourself as the old person any longer. We were identified with Christ, become a new creation because of Jesus Christ. We no longer identify with our old man or our old ways. Too often we talk about our old lives. It's like a badge of honor sometimes. Say, well, you know, I did this, I did that. You say, you know what? God saved me from this. This is who I am now. He's redeemed me from that lifestyle, set me free from that lifestyle. I'm a child of God now, and I get to look forward to what he has planned and purpose for me to walk in by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, to live differently, to speak differently, to live differently. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you were baptized in Christ and put on Christ, we are identified with Christ. Do you identify yourself as with Christ today? Or how do you see yourself? That's the question. Do you believe what the Word of God says or what you think? Right? It's not what you think. Our thinking pattern is, it's a lie. Yes, right? But what does the Word of God say? If I'm choosing not to believe what the Word of God says, there's an issue there. It's like, Lord, why do I want to believe this old thing about who I once was? Ephesians 4:24 says, put on a new man, which is after God is created in the righteousness and true holiness. So we no longer have to walk according to the natural desires of the flesh. We can walk in the Spirit. We can walk in the newness of life. He has made us new creatures. sometimes we don't feel like we're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says, I put all these scriptures up. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So who do we live for? I hope not all the time, right? But it is my desire to live for more of him. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Since we are a new creation in Christ, we ought to walk in the newness of life. We receive strength and empowerment in Christ, and able to live this new life, to walk in this new life. I can't do it in my own strength. When I try, I will flop. It's like a submarine with a screen door. That doesn't do much. May strain out some seaweed, but. So the problem is sometimes we refuse to walk by the Spirit. That's the issue. We refuse to walk by the Spirit. We refuse to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We refuse to take heed of what the Word of God is saying. We refuse to die to self. It's easy to walk in bad habits. It's another thing to walk in a new habit. But who do we surround ourselves with? What do we spend time doing? To reform a new habit takes time, discipline, surrenderness, and saying, Lord, I can't do this. I need you to help me. And you already know the tendencies, why you walk back into that sin. When I get depressed or I get worried or fearful, I gravitate to that sin. It's like, Lord, I know I'm going to gravitate to that because I'm feeling this way today. But Lord, help me. Immerse yourself in the Word of God, or even call up somebody and ask for prayer. So often we refuse to walk in the Spirit. Many would rather continue in their own ways, rather to submit to the will of the ways of the God. This is nothing new, because they existed in the old church, in the new church. In 1 Corinthians 3:1, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. And so, even in the early church, they had these issues. And as today, we have the same issues within the body of Christ. You rather walk in the cardinal way of life rather than be led of the Spirit to live spiritually. Hey, Emmanuel. So why did he call them babes in Christ? Okay. Yeah, in the church. They were self-seeking. You see that in the church. Self-gratifying, immature believers. Have you ever watched your children? Sometimes it's natural for them. They want everything for themselves. They want their own way. And when they don't get it, they throw a fit. And they pout. Throw a little tantrum. And Ryan... And sometimes we all adults, we throw the same hissy fit. We get on the ground and have a little tantrum. And then, you know, somebody comes along and says, now. So we all have done that. Hopefully it wasn't this morning. So the way the Corinthians believed, wanted to live a life, that's the way. We don't want to live a life like that. We don't want to live a life that's even manipulation. We throw a pouts, we throw little fits to manipulate people. And we cannot manipulate God. You can't go on pouting, blaming God for this, blaming for this, or blaming for that. Like, Lord, you said I'm going to have difficulties and trials and tribulation as a believer. So I'm going to trust you. I'm going to yield to you. And I'm going to trust that you're going to give me to mature me. Because only God can mature you. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away my childish things. Have you ever heard a child say they can do something and give up? That was well brought up. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I can't do that. Yet they haven't even tried yet. How many times have us, God's been sharing with you and showing you scriptures, saying, you know what? Just walk in a new way. Die to that old way. And you're like, Lord, I can't go walk in this new way. That's too hard. I'm used to doing it this way. Old habits are easy to walk in because you've done it numerous times. Think about it when you encourage your kids to do something new. You're there cheering them on. Encourage them to walk in this new way and maybe showing them how to do it. And I think as we see people in the church who are, you know, mentoring people, new believers, how to walk in the new way, it really shows. Because if you're somebody who doesn't know how to do something, do you not want to teach them how to do it? If you see somebody who has a hard time going through the prayer closet and praying, would you not show them and teach them how to pray? Would you not want to show people how to read the Bible in context? You're not taking things out of context. Right? The Bible says, you know, for correction and encouragement, to continue meeting together often so that we don't go off the rails? Do we not want to teach and bring up people in the Word of God? I think sometimes in our walk with Christ, our battles with the flesh, we just want to give up. We say it's too hard. It's easier just to fall back into that sin. So, and Paul says in Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Galatians 5:16, says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Since we are alive in Christ, what are we supposed to do? Yeah, and what does Psalm 139:23 say? Yeah. So search me, O God, know my heart, and he knows your heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Right? Is there any anxieties in your heart? As we yield to Him and surrender to Him, then we could actually start walking more in the newness of life, in this new life, not fulfilling the old nature. I think sometimes it's easy to talk about the weather, talk about everything else, but then other than talking about the Word of God. What do you gravitate when you talk? When we talk about the Word of God, and we remind ourselves of the Word of God, do you not get refreshed? Do you not get encouraged? And somebody says, well, you just like talk about God. Why do you like talk about God so much? Because He's my life. He's my breath. He's the one who helps me, encourages me, directs me. He's the one that saved me from my sin. He's the one who loved me before I even loved Him. How can I not love Him? I think of Enoch. He walked with God for 300 years. Could you imagine walking with God for 300 years on earth before He takes you to heaven? Enoch never died. Could you imagine every day walking with the Lord? What would that be like? How would even walking with God, even let's start small. If I walk with God for a half hour per day, what happens if I start walking with Him from a half hour of today to an hour and a half a day, or 2 hours per day? How would that even change your life? How would that even change your attitude? How would that change your perspective of what's happening in this world? Because the battle that we're fighting right now is a spiritual battle. You ever notice what's being bombarded to you daily? And how do we battle against the things, spiritual things? Be in prayer. Be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. To walk with Him hand in hand. To put off the old nature and put on the new. To recognize that I am being out a new creation, and God is transforming my heart. He's sanctifying my heart. I'm continually being saved. You're saved, and you're being saved. Through sanctification. Doesn't want you to live the same way any longer. He wants you to live in a new life, a new way, living in a new attitude. We are to yield to the Holy Spirit, to allow God, allow Him to live through us. When we do that, we're given the power to be freed from the bondage of sin. To repent of sin, we can repent of generational sins that has influenced our lives, that has been passed down through the generations. So this, I wrote Hebrews 12:1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And I think of when you're surrounded by witnesses, people that are cheering you on, who have gone before you. Are they not cheering you to live a life that honors God? That's why it's important to be surrounded by people that are godly people. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance. Endurance is, it's like, keep the same pace. We don't sprint, then walk, sprint, and walk, because it gets more tiresome. But we walk with endurance, looking onto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'll finish with Ephesians 2, 24. Ephesians 2, 2-4, in which you once walked. I like that past tense. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We were sons of disobedience before Christ. We were enemies of God before we come to know Christ as Savior. Right? Satan is real. There's demons and demonic spirits that are trying to influence you to walk contrary to what the Word of God says. We have to believe there is demonic spirits. There's things that we do not see. There's things that influence you. We have to be careful what we watch and listen to. Among you, among whom also we want, all once conduct ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This is who we once were. When you become a child of God, this is talking about the past. You're no longer this. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, in his mercy he saved you. In his mercy he redeemed you. Because that's why we praise him. When you know more of who he is, do you not want to praise him? Our life is an act of worship. When we come together praising him in the morning, that's just a very minute part of praising God. Our lives should be an act of worship. When I live, and it's an act of worship. I'm praising him for all that he's doing. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to see the truth with a different lens. I pray, Father, that even areas where we are the sin that so easily entangles us, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would not desire to give seat carb any longer to that sin. Lord, that we would have this desire to put off that old sin and to walk in the newness of life. Lord, I pray that Lord, I pray that we would take hold of what your word says, and to allow your word to transform our hearts and to transform our minds. Lord, as we meditate on your word, Lord, I thank you that your word does transform us, and it renews us and strengthens us. I pray that, Father, today as we go out, Father, that we would no longer see ourselves as we once were, but who we are now in Christ. Not because of anything that we have done, because it's everything that you have done. And Lord, that we would praise you and speak more of you, and speak to others about how you have set us free from certain things and how you delivered us from certain things. Lord, that we would just be speaking of how you set people free, and that you're a loving and caring God, that you do not want to see anybody to perish, but to have eternal life with you, to live with you forever and ever. So Lord, help us to share the truth of the gospel to the lost. And Lord, we pray for those who are battling sinful desires. Lord, I pray that you would help them to recognize, to repent, and even the generational curses, Father, I pray that you would reveal to them of the generational curses, that they would repent on behalf of their forefathers, and that, Lord, that you would break off those curses off their lives, that they would no longer have dominion in their lives, no longer have a stronghold in their lives, but, Lord, they would be broken. That would break free from their lives, that they could walk in the newness of Christ. Lord, I thank you that you always give us a way out. So, Lord, help us to be walking in humility, to say, Lord, I need you. I can't do this on my own. Help us, Lord, to be dependent on you, to be reliant on you, and to desire to trust you. And Lord, thank you that you're going to set us free from the things that pull us away from you. As we surrender to you, as we become more obedient to you, forgive us for giving CPR to those sinful desires, to that flesh. Lord, help us see that we are new in Christ, that we're different. We don't have to live in the old way any longer. In Jesus' name.